turning our eyes upon Jesus. That's what Mark would have us do all through his gospel. Mark just hits the ground running with his gospel, pointing us towards Jesus, who he is, what he will do for us. And again, our times of reflection during the evenings this week will be opportunities to stop and to turn our eyes upon Jesus. It is so important in these tumultuous days that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. This is a story, the story which Lynn read for us, a story that we all know so well. And if we haven't waved palm branches and clip-clopped like a donkey, then we've certainly witnessed other people doing it. It's a story we've known since our earliest days. One of those Sunday school stories that comes round every year. This story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. And in Mark's gospel, it marks the start of a new section. It leads us into this week where Jesus arrives in Jerusalem and the remainder of his ministry is basically spent in that city. And that's where Mark wants us to be, in that city, with Jesus, in that Passion Week. If you watch Jesus through the Gospels, you find him walking everywhere. Occasionally he was in a boat to get away from crowds or to get across the lake, but generally he's walking with his disciples, he's walking with crowds. And I think I'm right in saying that this is the only occasion where we read of Jesus riding on a donkey. So it seems that Jesus quite deliberately chose this entry into Jerusalem. He probably also walked through that gate many times, but this time he chooses to go in riding on a donkey, on a colt that no one has ridden. Why does he do it this time? Well, part of the background to that is in the prophet Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah looks to a time when the king, will ride into Jerusalem. Listen to what he says. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So Jesus gets on this donkey and gently, slowly makes his way deliberately into Jerusalem, very clearly proclaiming that he is the king. Now, the crowd obviously understands something of what's going on. They pick up the symbolism of this man gently making his way into Jerusalem. And so they throw cloaks over the donkey for Jesus to sit on. They spread out palms and branches. They put their cloaks down on the ground to make this red carpet for the king to make his way into Jerusalem. And then they shout, they cheer, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna. It's a word that simply means save now or save indeed. So as these people welcomed King Jesus into Jerusalem, they were asking him to save. That entrance was very different to the entrance that others might have made into Jerusalem. Herod, who had completed the temple and built this beautiful palace for himself, would have come in splendor and might. Pilate, now the governor in that place, governing for Rome, would have come in with all of the might of Rome around him, and people would have known who was coming. This is a very different entrance. Jesus quietly making his way through the gate on the back of a donkey. Now, there's no doubt that many people in that crowd looked at Jesus and reckoned that he would be the one who would call them to arms. He would be the one to tell them to sharpen your swords because we're going to get rid of this Roman oppressor once and for all. And there's no doubt that's what some people wanted. But to really understand what was happening on that day, we have to take into account all the other days as well. We have to take into account the events of that week, the events of Good Friday, the events of Easter Sunday, because without those we'll never fully appreciate and understand what's happening on that Palm Sunday. The crowd thought that if only they were free from the Romans, everything else would be okay. There would be no more problems. Life would be wonderful. If only we could throw off this yoke of oppression, life would be good. Jesus, this is what we want you to do. Save us, Jesus. It's clear that Jesus is in control of this situation. Jesus is the one who takes the first step. Jesus is the one who chooses to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Not the disciples, not the crowd, not the religious leaders who are intent on killing him, not Pilate and the might of the Roman Empire. Only Jesus is truly in control of what's going on. And he deliberately rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. The events are moving towards Good Friday and towards Easter Sunday. And Jesus is both the instigator and the focus of all those events. He's the one that sets them into motion, and he's the one who's at the very center. Turn our eyes upon Jesus as we watch what's happening. He's the longed-for Messiah. He will indeed save. But he will save from much more than just the oppression of the Roman Empire. Jesus had much bigger things in mind. Jesus has a bigger picture. In Luke's gospel, as Luke recounts this whole episode, he recounts Jesus saying this: if you had only known this day, what would bring you peace? There were so many in the crowd that thought, you know what, if we can get rid of these Romans, if we can get rid of that Roman oppression, we will have peace. And Jesus weeps and says, no, if you'd really known what would truly bring you peace, much, much more than just getting rid of the Romans. Paul was to write later on, writing to the church in Ephesus, that God was able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his great power that is at work within us. And on that Palm Sunday, Jesus was doing immeasurably more than all the crowd could either ask or imagine. All they wanted him to do was to overcome an army, change the political situation. Then life will be great. Jesus says, no, I'm doing immeasurably more than you can either ask or imagine. God would lead his people out from under the boot of Rome. But he had a greater work to do than that. The victory that Jesus would win on the cross was not a military victory, was not a political win. It wasn't an economic solution. It was a victory over death and sin and hell. Jesus was doing immeasurably more than we or those first people could either ask or imagine. So that's why we need to see the events of Easter as a whole. Can you imagine having a really good book and only reading one chapter in it and thinking that you know the whole book? Or a really good series on TV and you watch one episode and you think you understand the whole thing? If we just focus on the events of that Palm Sunday, we narrow our vision, we narrow our horizons, for God is doing great things through this Jesus who makes his way into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, knowing what lies ahead, knowing about Gethsemane and his pain, knowing about the agony of separation on the cross, knowing about the glorious resurrection, Jesus still moves into Jerusalem to do immeasurably more than we can either ask or imagine. I wonder what it is that you want Jesus to give you victory over. We look around us and we all want victory over this pandemic. Of course we do. We look at the political and economic instability which seems to enfold us. And we want victory over it. Of course we do. But God is doing greater things than that. God, who has helped us thus far, will lead us through these things. And because of that, we have hope. But supremely, Jesus gives us victory and leads us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Jesus goes to the cross so that our sins may be forgiven. We're reminded this life is short, but eternity is real. Jesus could have sorted out those Romans on that time, but that wouldn't have dealt with the eternal problem. Yes, Jesus will bring us through this pandemic. Yes, the promise of Jesus never to leave us or forsake us is true through all of the instability that we live through. But more than that, Jesus dies on the cross that our sin might be forgiven and that we might, through faith in him, have that gift of eternal life. And so with that crowd, let's shout together, Hosanna, save now from our sin for eternity, that we may live to the praise of his glory here and now, declaring the hope of Jesus in a pandemic, declaring the hope of Jesus as we wonder what will become of political and economic turmoil around us, but declaring most of all that Jesus is Lord. Hosanna. Let that be our cry.